Hey gang, we're going to meditate here, and then one of my favorite vocalists, she's been with us once before. Her name is Deirdre Francoise. She's out of Canada, but she's actually the music director for Unity of Atlantic Beach in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. I think it's Unity on the Gold Coast is what it's actually called, but it's in Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. And the way they do things is fascinating. Deirdre is televised in from Canada on a great big screen in the back of the wall, and she performs in real time. Everything's a new way of doing things. And anything, but Deirdre's music is quite splendid, and her performance is lovely. So first we're going to have a meditation here, and then we're going to hear from Deirdre. So take a breath. And as we do every month when I speak online, we look at a candle. And this way, I encourage us to have an open eye meditation by noticing the flickering flame of the lovely candle. Oh, it flickered just as I said it. Unless, I blow and it flickers. So by going within, new revelations happen. By looking at this flame, which actually looks like a piece of candy corn, actually, we can realize we know things that we either forgot we knew or that we didn't know we knew. So I invite you to take a breath. Send that air all the way up and all the way through. Exhale through the mouth. And take another breath in. And this time, when you get all the way up, I like to affirm that the Christ in me is awake now, because I really appreciate the word Christ. For what is the Christ within me except my anointing, my awakened mind, or the awakened mind within me? And so the Christ in me is awake now. Those of you who care to, would you affirm that with me, please? The Christ in me is awake now. And in that awakening, the awareness of health and well-being is awake in me now. The awareness of harmony is awake in me now. The awareness of prosperity is awake in me now. The awareness of truth and wisdom, of divine intelligence, of divine love, of divine peace, of divine joy is awake in me now. Awake in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. Awake and reminding me of my true nature and my neighbor's true nature. As we are instructed to love God and to love one another and, of course, love ourselves. We use this method today to awaken ourselves to the memory and the once again realization of our true nature. True meaning that without an opposite. So my true nature is good and has no opposite. My neighbor's true nature is good and has no opposite. And that's the thought we're going to take into the silence. My true nature is good and has no opposite. My neighbor's true nature is good and has no opposite. Let's take that into the silence and see what we get from it. So I am continuously reminded, my true nature is good and has no opposite. My neighbor's true nature is good and has no opposite. Everything else is just circumstances. It's just events that I place thoughts on. I give thanks that my thoughts have no bearing on my true nature. I give thanks that my thoughts have no bearing on my neighbor's true nature. I am so glad that truth is always true. So knowing that, let's start our journey back here. Back here to this sanctuary, this place called unity. And as we come back, let us come back refreshed, renewed, and fully aware of the good that has just taken place, that we may say thank you and amen. Let's listen to Deidre.
You know, I enjoy bird watching. And one of the things that I notice is that the babies tend to be a lot fatter than moms, you know, who are working so hard to feed them. They follow mom with their beaks wide open as she teaches them what's okay to eat and what's not and how to look for food. But 2 weeks ago, my cat killed a mama bird. And just as this little bird was being taught how to feed itself, you know, once it was so chubby in the safety of being completely provided for, right? And now it's alone. Alone with incomplete knowledge, incomplete training. And it tried several times to eat a worm and it had actually successfully captured. And I watched it and I was just so amazed that, oh, yes, yes, I was so happy. But this bird had not yet been taught to expect the worm to fight for itself, to try to save its own life, you know? And the little bird jumped back in fear 3 times. 3 times. And then gave up and flew off. Now forced to grow into the challenges of the process. The challenges of being in the void. This one is called I Don't Know. I don't know which way I'm heading. It seems I'm lost again. I thought I knew just a moment ago. Now I'm playing so many roles, putting on a grand show. I've gotten so good at procrastinating. Excuses come easy, it seems, as my dreams threaten to stifle me. Why am I so afraid? I thought this was exactly what I wanted. I need to take some time. I gotta start praying. Do I fight or change my way? Avoiding my problems puts my body in pain. Won't you show me the way? Oh Lord, show me the way. Oh.
I like that. I like that a lot. I hope you did too. We have another song by Dedry at the end of the talk there. So today's talk is called "I Don't Know, ...... or Do I?" Now, when I came into Unity, I was taught that God is omniscience, which is the all-knowing, that God is knowledge itself. I was taught that God is omnipresence, meaning presence itself, and omnipotence, power itself. And today to focus on the knowing, because we affirm a lot, "I don't know." When David and I first got together, he would ask me questions. "What's the weather today?" Well, I didn't know. And I didn't like saying, "I don't know." I don't like affirming that. And I preferred him to say, "Do you know what the weather is today?" Because then I could say, "No, I'm not aware of it." But it was a head thing of mine. I don't like affirming "I don't know," because knowledge is within me. Now, what I had to learn is it doesn't matter what the weather is today. It's so insignificant. It's so unimportant. And so to look at that and say, "Oh, I don't care what the weather is today, except for, do I need a coat? Do I need a sweater? Do I need short sleeves?" That's the only reason to concern myself with the weather, is for how to clothe myself. And so to look at life, to look at love, to look at what's going on around us, I no longer have to affirm "I don't know." I may not be aware of what's going on, but I know. I know the truth that will set me free. I know that. I may not be able to articulate it, but I know. And that's how I can get confidence within my day. I know. I know the truth that will set me free. I know the truth that will set all beings free. But it does begin with me. "Let there be peace in earth," as Charles Fillmore said, "and let it begin with me." Now, things come up and we get afraid of knowing. It becomes dangerous somehow to know because, well, if I know this, then it's going to be more work. But I read this passage in the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, of course, in Understanding Truth. And I want to read this to us all because it's a good one. And it comes from John chapter 20. And it says here, "When the light begins to dawn within the mind, you will recognize it. And yet you will not understand or accept it completely at first, and you may also fear it." I kept myself lazy and distant for a long time because I was afraid of what would happen if I knew things, what work was involved. It's like knowing the gifts of forgiveness. It means I'm going to have to forgive. And that can seem daunting at times. So this is only the reaction of a mind long blinded by darkness when it first encounters the reality of light. And remember, what does light do? It lets us see. "Let this fear not upset you. It is natural in the transition, but because you have seen a glimmer of the light, it will call to you and will follow it through your fear. For somehow you know that in the light lies the absence of fear and all that you have ever sought." This to me is a vital teaching. Within the light, it shows me the absence of fear, and it shows me all that I've ever sought. One of our 12 divine mind faculties is imagination. It sits right here, the third eye. And in imagination, I always say imagination is what turns our obstacles into opportunities. Because when I can see these things for what they are, then all sorts of divine ideas are available for my reception. And I say, oh, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. And I don't have to figure it out. One of my least favorite things that people say is, "I just have to figure this out and then I'll be okay." And it's like, no, it's already figured out. I have to open up to seeing what is figured out. And so I look at that and I think, What is this? I was talking with a friend today, earlier this morning, about our anxiety, about fear of a projected future, not even a real one, but a projected future. How do I know it's not a real one? Because it hasn't happened yet. And so if it hasn't happened yet, then it's not a real future, is it? Even the present is open to my interpretation. But we were talking about this, and I said, you know, I come from a 12-step background, and I understand the third step, which is turning our will and making a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Now, I like to think of care of good, orderly direction. It works well for me. Good, orderly direction. You can say care of God. Doesn't matter, but depends what you're thinking and what you do with it. And so making a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Now, there's a prayer that goes with this, which says, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Well, what's the thou wilt part? And that used to confuse me. What's God's will for me? I didn't know till I heard someone say one night, God's will for me is to be happy, joyous, and free. And I thought, I didn't know that. I don't remember that ever being said in my church as a kid. Certainly wasn't said in our household. But I bought right into that because that made sense to me. Oh, God's will for me is to be happy, joyous, and free. Okay, then, what do I have to think, say, and do to be happy, joyous, and free, to experience this God's will for me? And that's where we get scared. That's where the scary part comes in, because we start projecting the worst within the light. The light, oh, the light is going to take all my fun away from me. The light is going to take all my good away from me, my perceived good. You know, I'm not going to be able to, I don't know, have fun in whatever way I'm perceiving fun that isn't working out so well these days. And how do I know it's not working out? I'm in prayer because I'm uncomfortable. I'm itchy for whatever reason. But so God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. And I thought of it, good orderly direction. I offer myself over in order that I may be happy, joyous, and free. Now the next part of that prayer says, relieve me of the bondage of self. Again, took me a long time to understand what that meant. And the day I got it, oh, the bondage of self, that I think everything is about me. That I think absolutely everything is about me. You know, I got bobbleheads. I got a bobblehead of me that doesn't look much like me. And I got a bobblehead of Jesus here, which I don't think looks a lot like him, but they're fun. And they remind me of things. But the bondage of self is what I think about both of these, myself and Jesus. Oh, and the Santa Claus back there, why not? And so to look at the bondage, relieve me of the bondage of self. Now, in the traditional prayer, I'm looking upward somewhere to have, lift this bondage of self up out of me. But it's not that. I'm asking myself to relieve myself of the bondage of self. I'm asking myself to interrupt all the thoughts about everything that I take so personally that I don't have to take personally anymore, because it's not personal. You know, as I've said this so many times in so many sermons, and I know it, and you may be overhearing it, but I got to keep repeating it because it bears witness to high spiritual practice. The weather isn't about me. And my thinking it is the bondage of self. My thinking that what you think is about me, even if you're thinking about me, is the bondage of self, because suddenly I'm bound with my thoughts. I think, oh, I've got to do something about this. I've got to change it somehow. And I don't. I don't have to change the road. I don't have to change all that. I have to become willing to not take it personally, to let it be a part of my daily experience. Because don't get me wrong, I have preferences about what I'd like life to be, nevertheless. And so I just can't afford to take it personally. So relieve me of the bondage of self. Why? That I may better do thy will, which is that I may better be happy, joyous, and free. And the next part, this is where we get into service in the world. Take away my difficulties. That was when I first read that. My rent will be paid, guaranteed to be paid somehow. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy way of life. But to those, bear witness to those I would help, meaning, oh, you mean my healing, my having a great life could inspire others to have a great life. For instance, Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, she did her healing work, which was service to me, because I picked up on this, oh, I could have a healing. And if I can have a healing, certainly you can have a healing. Everybody can have a healing. I'm open, I'm willing. So it's a, but her having this life, this healed life in so many ways, the healing of the thoughts and the body that and the sickness that stirs up in there through belief in the absence of good. That's what we're going to call it for now. And so to look at that and say, oh, take away my difficulties, the victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Now, the traditional prayer says, thy love, thy may help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. But when I was talking to my friend this morning, what came out was the power, the love, the way of living, or the way of life, the instead of thy. And that struck us both. Oh, the power. I mean, the power that is. And it's everywhere, everywhere present within me and around me. And it's not personal. It's just the way that it is. The power, the love. We're living in love. And the way of life, which means on the beam, knowing the truth. And remember what we were told in the Bible. And I don't go with everything in the Bible, but there's a lot of stuff I like. And this one I like. And it said, and you will know the truth. And by knowing the truth, you will be set free. That was fantastic. Still is. It is by knowing the truth that I am free. I'm free to live. I'm free to love. I'm free to freedom from the bondage of self. I am free from my bondage because I know the truth. It was Course in Miracles that wrote, only the truth is true. And I remember when a friend of mine said that to me, and I thought, I just want to jump for joy. Of course, only the truth is true. And some people, it's a real anathema to them to hear that term, because it makes no sense. It's like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there, it doesn't make a noise. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter. And it's been argued both ways. Only the truth is true, though, means that anything that's not truth isn't true. I don't have to discern which is which. It's already been discerned. I just have to know. If it's not true, it's not going to be true. Or if it's not truth, it's not going to be true. What a relief. What a big, huge relief. And so, for me to think, well, I don't know this or I don't know that, the fact is, I do know it. Knowledge is within me. I know. I just know. I still know what I know. I can't put it into words, because truth, to try anything I put into words limits what I'm talking about. I could tell you about myself all day long, and probably have tried, and I still haven't told you all about me. I could tell you that I love you, but I can't describe it accurately. And anything I would say I love, David, my cats, my whatever, anything I would say I just love, I cannot describe it accurately. And to say I love myself when I will criticize my stomach. And I say that because lately I've gained weight. I decided I'm going to love my tummy. I love my tummy because I can't love myself and hate a part of me. Yes, I would like to drop some weight. It's far more comfortable when I'm thinner. But I think I've had enough of being ashamed or claiming shame over my weight or my body. It's not worth the time and trouble. It does not suit my anointing. It does not suit my Christ nature to hate or to condemn any part of my being, be it the physical or the invisible part of myself. It's just not going to pay off the way I had hoped. Now, I read this also, this is in the book of Revelation of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And I rather liked it. Oh, that's funny. Wait 1 second. I got to make sure I have the right part here before I try to fool us into thinking. No. Where does JK? There we go. We got up to K here because I looked up no in this book. And it's, oh, it is this one. Good. 22. 14. Oh, there it is. Although it is funny. Three paragraphs up from where I want to start says, only the truth is true. All else is illusion. Pay attention there. So, starts here. Everyone experiences according to his choice because you are the one who chooses. Inside the inner chamber of your heart, you shall find and know your truth. Now, this is a tough one to me because I take exception to when people say, well, this is my truth. This is just my truth. Well, and I say, there is no my truth. There's just truth. And I think that this is what it's referring to, but it can sound like that monkey when we hear in the streets. You shall find and know your truth, which means the truth. It is not foreign to you. It is all that you are. When you seem locked outside the light of the heart, do not fear to choose again. I hope you hear that. When you seem locked outside the light of the heart, do not fear to choose again. Go ahead and choose again. Do not try to make what doesn't work work. Do not try to convince yourself that the false is true. It won't work. And do not try to convince yourself that the darkness is light. Rest and trust that your heart beckons to you. As you listen, you shall be drawn to it. As you listen, it shall come to you. Your truth is your foundation, and in your foundation you find your strength. Let all else fade away, and a new house shall be built from the true foundation of light. The call is within you, and the door is open. Come and thirst no more. Come and see that you are the river of life. Put aside all fear and listen only to the voice of love. Recognize your true voice and follow it to the recognition of you. He or she who listens will surely hear. He who comes will know. All will come as none are to be left out. This is the word of God. Amen. Put aside all fear and listen only to the voice of love. Does the news channel you're listening to speak only with the voice of love? And after you watch that or listen to a news channel, where's your voice? Where's your inner voice, your inner knowing? Is it speaking to you in love? Or does it exacerbate the fear, the danger signals? It's been weighing on me lately, what is being said in this world? And what actions people are taking in their ignorance within the world. And so to look at that and say, wait a minute, I want to hear the voice for love. I don't want to be afraid anymore. I don't want to hate anymore. I want the voice for love. And it's a worthwhile voice. And so let's start using our knowing to know that love is a strong reality. And love lives in every cell, every tissue, every fiber of our being. And love flows through our pores. Love flows through our relationships. I don't always recognize it, but I insist on knowing that love is my one true reality. You know, the affirmation I put in the like not in the bulletin, but on the line today, is there's only one power and one presence as the universe and as my life. God, the good, omniscience. That means God, the good, the all-knowing, the knowledge. And so what God is, we are. What God is, I am is. God is knowledge itself. Let's start living our lives in the assurance of that, It's a process. Nevertheless, let's start living our lives in the assurance. I know. I know my good is here. I know my neighbor's good is here. I'm willing to see it, and I'm willing to see it now. Thank you. Let's listen to Dedry again.
I feel a healing moving deep within. I feel a healing moving deep within. I feel it start down deep at the bottom of my feet. I feel a healing moving deep within. I feel it move to my knees, cleansing all disease, yeah. I feel a healing moving deep within. I feel it rise up to my tummy, cleansing and healing all my worries.
Affirm that for yourself. I feel a healing moving deep within.
I feel it deep within my heart, mending all my scars. I feel a healing moving deep within. I feel it rise up to my neck. I let go and let God do the rest. I feel a healing moving deep within. I feel it move inside my brain, healing despair and pain. I feel a healing moving deep within. And I feel my soul begin to rise, and I'm bathing God's sweet light. I feel a healing. I feel a healing moving deep within. Yeah, I feel a healing moving.